and me and the New York Giants are the Super Bowl 42 champions.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
They knock off the mighty Patriots 17-14.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, yeah. Inside the 1 o'clock hour on The Fan in New York. Taking your calls at 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson, your nighttime host, freshly back from Citi Field, taking an L, getting smacked. Game was over fast. Yankees get humbled again. But if you're a Yankee fan, you've been getting humbled all month. If you're a Yankee fan, you've been getting embarrassed all month. It's not more so because it's the Mets. Maybe I can't speak for everybody. I think it's fun to go to another ballpark. I had the thought tonight. I'm like, well, Braves fans came in, Orioles fans came in, Dodgers fans came in, came marching in, took over our building. I'm like, let's go to Citi Field. Maybe we could take over their building. Oh, the Yankees don't cooperate. The Yankees don't help you much with that. They're in a bad one right now. Guys that they are depending on, that they have banked on, are hurt. Guys that they are depending on are underperforming. They're very underwhelming. And even though you have a top of the order that you feel good about, those guys can get on and then strike out. You know, I was thinking about Gary Sanchez in the Subway Series, missing that tag at home plate. And Gary Sanchez was gone the next year. And, you know, how Yankee fans were so hard on Gary Sanchez. And, you know, this team is shifting out of what we thought they were. Like, the Gleyber Torres era is over. It's unfortunate. This is what Gleyber Torres is going to be remembered for. Failing, not hustling, errors, running into outs. And, I mean, he gave the Yankees great moments, but it's over, man. DJ LeMahieu, another one, gave the Yankees great moments. Ultimately, they didn't win. But the goal is still to win, right? The goal is still to win the World Series, and that's very much still on the table as a team with 52 wins in first place, a two-game lead, like, fret not. You're allowed to call the fan and express your concern and be a little bit worried, but, like, fret not because it's a long season. And on the flip side, man, bookmark those tweets, screenshot those text messages. I just clipped an article and saved it. The Mets are looking like a postseason team. John Heyman writes, mashing Mets look like a playoff team as Yankees show some cracks on June 26th. Yeah, mark it. Let's see if it holds. Let's see how it ages. Long way to go. We are not even at the All-Star break. We are not even at the deadline. We're not even at 4th of July. So long way to go. And if you're a fan on both sides, just understand that we can't predict the future. And as bad as it seems for the Yanks, it's not that bad. And as good as it seems for the Mets, you've already been at rock bottom like two or three times earlier in the year. So enjoy the run. Enjoy the fact that guys are hitting and your pitching is doing enough. And there's help on the way and a deadline on the way as well. I said, David Stearns looks like a genius. Love it when a plan comes together in June. But the plan's got to continue to come together. And you got to fight through injuries and adversity, like 10-game suspensions, and we'll see. We shall see. And that's what's fun about this, right? That's why when I came in and I talked about, man, I'm just like so happy to be a sports fan, have access to live games, work in sports media, and my show being on at night. Like, yeah, I'd rather be asleep. I'd rather be with my wife and my kid. But what an honor to get to talk to you guys, to take your calls and have conversations about this stuff, man. When we were in the pandemic, we didn't have any of this, and I even harken back to growing up, I wasn't living in the city. I wasn't as close to Yankee Stadium or Citi Field. I couldn't on a whim decide, I'm going to go to the game and make it happen. And, win or loss, like, I still was in the building. Like, I don't know. I'm happy that, I get to do this, and hopefully you guys are listening and you like what I do and you want to join the show, and we'll crush this last hour talking about the Subway Series, Mets and Yankees, and as well as the news of the Knicks getting Mikal Bridges and the Brooklyn Nets getting some picks and having a future down the road, and the future for the Knicks being right now, man. Before you know it, we're going to be watching Hard Knocks with the Giants, and everybody's going to be waiting to hear where Aaron Rodgers was, and we'll have football back, and I don't know. If you're into sports like I am, it's fun, man. You got to enjoy it. 888-808-1019. If you're listening to the Fan at 1 in the morning, you're probably into sports. Eric is in Bushwick. Eric, you got it.
Keith, man, I know you know this one. Manhattan keep on making it. Brooklyn keep on taking it. Mikal Bridges is not him, dude. All right. So after the All-Star game, 15 points per game, 37% field goal percentage. The bridge is over, dude.
Yeah, and he didn't want to be in Brooklyn at all. Not with his buddies having a great old time in Manhattan for the New York Knickerbockers.
The Knicks can have fun with him, man, for sure. But, like, five firsts for this guy is crazy. He was never going to be him. He was never going to be our all-star. He was never going to be our, like, superstar. Five firsts is crazy. I'm just saying that. I don't know.
The
2025 draft is crazy. We have, like, three picks in that. Like,
the crazy thing, bro, Cam Johnson, right, when they came over here as the twins from Phoenix, like, the Nets paid Cam Johnson.
Because
that's his boy, right? Because they believed in Mikal Bridges so much. I mean, Cam Johnson makes close to what Jalen Brunson makes. That's
dude,
hilarious.
I call him Scam Johnson, dude. Like, they, like, in Mark, we trust. I need Mark to deal this guy. I need him to figure out what we can do with Scam Johnson because he's not getting it done.
Yeah, he's out of here, too, because now he doesn't have his right-hand man. He doesn't have his buddy. You know, his roommate.
No, he's definitely out. He's at least checked out. So we need to figure out something to do with Scam Johnson, but whatever. But, okay, I just wanted to get back to some guy like an hour ago was like, you know, NBA draft first-round picks are not an NFL first-round pick. And I get that, but in Marks we trust. Marks can draft, dude. Just look back his whole career, like, just with the Nets. You know, we got Kyle Kuzma, Sadiq Bey. Those guys all got dealt like on draft day, whatever. But like Nick Claxton, Cam Thomas, Jalen Wilson, Noah Clowney, this guy can draft.
Jared Allen. Karis LeVert was, you know, I think, Indiana, whatever. But
give my guy Mark these picks. He will make them count, dude.
I'm not worried about it. I feel good about it. And that's what I was saying online. I said a couple things online. One, on my account, I'm like, yo, it doesn't matter if these picks are used. Thanks for the call, Eric. It doesn't matter if these picks are used specifically for picks. I trust that Sean Marks is going to be able to find another, you know, Nick Claxton or Cam Thomas or Jared Allen or Karis LeVert or whatever. Or if they're used in a trade. Donovan Mitchell at the game tonight, repping his Mets, tweeting out, I'm not interested in the Nets getting Donovan Mitchell. But if they wanted to pursue a trade or... Now you have a future. Now you have some capital. As Nets fans, we're tired of not having our own damn picks. We're tired of looking at the Boston Celtics like, yeah, well, you know, we made those trades. Mikal Bridges, like Eric said, is not him. He's a role player. I don't know what they thought. I guess they thought he was going to be a one. He's a three. You know what I'm saying? So, like, he fits with the New York Knicks much better. And I'm so proud of the Nets for not just being dum-dums and having foolish pride. I got a lot of respect for people that just, like, swallow their pride and understand, hey, this is for the greater good. There's no win here in saying, no, we're not going to trade with the Knicks. Okay, so be it. If your fear is that you give Mikal Bridges to the Knicks and he's the last Infinity Stone and the Knicks win a championship, so what? You just watched the Boston Celtics win a championship. At least we can go to that parade. 888-808-1019. Jay is in Harlem. Jay, you're on the Fan.
Hey, what's going on, Keith?
You know, just talking the talk. I don't know. You're a Knicks fan or you're a Nets fan?
Definitely a Knicks fan. But, you know, I'm not a hater either, so it's a good day for both of us.
But regardless, I was about to say, you're probably feeling good about getting this dude on your team, and I understand who he is and what he is.
Oh, man.
And he's a great piece. You need him. You could have used him in this run.
Oh, for sure. Like, the depth now, like, like Leon did a great job. Like the patience of not getting Donovan Mitchell last summer when they wanted RJ and picks. I mean, we wouldn't have gotten OG this year, and we wouldn't have been able to have enough picks to trade for McCown. So it's just the patience to not have another 6'2 dude, and that'd be our backboard. Now you got a 6'6 guy as a two. The defense is built for to defend Boston's wings. We got a 6'6 wing, two 6'6 wings on it. Like, it's just crazy how the team is like. And my real point is you got to re-sign OG because you gave up so much for him. You gave up quickly, and RJ, you can't let him walk. And if he wants the max, it is what it is. Sorry, Hartenstein, like, I get it, but we got to make it work. You got to re-sign him. If he wants the max, give it to him. We have enough depth that if he gets hurt for a couple games, like, we've seen it this year. We still made it to the second round with Julius down. Like, we can afford, like, a couple, like, I'm not going well. I don't want him getting hurt, but, like, if it does happen with the team we have now, if we re-sign him, we have enough depth to withstand that. Like, he just did a great job building this team. I can't wait. I was at the Philly games on the road, both wins. Like, this team got the heart, the defense. Like, it's going to be fun next year.
I think you got obviously a leg up in the game. I think OG likes what he saw here in a little bit of time. And you do make a good point about what you gave up, you know, two homegrown guys that you thought were your future. I think you got a leg up in the game, obviously, because Leon Rose's son, Sam Rose, is OG's agent. And, like, you know, like... Jalen Brunson's dad's a coach on the team. Jalen Brunson has over here. Like, they're going to, in this NBA, they force their way. You just got Mikal Bridges. They're going to put the team together the way they want.
Yeah. It's a good day, man.
Thanks for the call, Jay. Yeah, like, it's a foregone conclusion. I mean, if OG, he could go somewhere else if he's chasing money, but, like, he got a taste of the Garden, he got a taste of the Knicks fandom. And the way that he tried to come back and play in that game six, or game seven, rather, the way that he tried to come back and play, a lot of guys would just pack it up. A lot of guys would be like, nah, I'm not trying to do that. I'm about to be a free agent. I'm not risking further injury. I'm not going into the summer hurt. So, like, that showed me that he was committed. That showed me that, you know, OG Anunoby is the guy that's bought into the Knicks culture, the Knicks fans, Madison Square Garden, and I think he wants to be here. Obviously, he wants to get paid. Obviously, Leon Rose's son want to get paid. They'll figure it out. They'll figure it out. I mean, doing business with your son? My son's only 14 months. But if I ever have to do business with my son 35 years down the road, he's going to do what I say. Mario in Long Beach. Mario, you're on the Fan.
What's going on, Keith? Good show as always.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, so this Knick trade, you know, I've talked to you a couple of times about this in the past, and you told me they would never do the trade.
That is why I'm so happy. Evan Roberts is going to get on the Fan tomorrow afternoon, and he's going to tell you the same thing. Nets fans, I think we had talked ourselves into because of what we've seen. Like I said, they paid Cam Johnson. They turned down. The Rockets tried to offer him picks. They've turned down so many opportunities to trade Mikal Bridges. It told the Nets fans that this guy's here to stay. He's under control for the next couple years. They love his mentality. They love his personality. And he's an Iron Man versus all of the guys that they had that were injured. None of us saw this coming tonight.
Yeah, I really saw it coming. I figured he's going to want his way in, you know, especially when he started to go on those roommate podcasts. And you could see Brunson and Hart.
That's another part of it, Mario. Bit, you know? Not to cut you off because I'm going to give you your time. The Brooklyn Nets are easily bullied. Right? They're easily told what to do. They've had multiple guys force their way out. James Harden just wanted to go to the booty club. Wanted to, you know, like on West Coast trips, he wanted to go to the club. I didn't like it over there. Even so much, didn't like it in Brooklyn. Didn't like it in the cold. And then with the whole pandemic, and then with Kyrie, he's like, I'm not here to carry this team. KD's out. Kyrie's suspended. I want out. Forced his way out. Where Sean Marks actually accepted a trade with Ben Simmons. Nobody in the NBA was doing that. Kyrie, like, there was a article written that Kyrie didn't actually think they were going to trade him. But with Joe Tsai and Sean Marks together, they called Kyrie's bluff and they said, yeah, we'll trade you. We'll send you to Dallas, thinking that they were just casting him off somewhere and not sending him to LA to be with LeBron. Kyrie ends up in the finals the next year on a good team in a good situation. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, I can't.
Mikal Bridges wanted this. And so I think once he came to them and expressed, I want to be a Knick, they're like, we're not going to hold you hostage. Literally. Your boy's trolling you online saying they're holding you hostage. We're not going to hold you hostage. If the Knicks want to play ball, your people talk to their people. Call my people. My people talk to your people. We'll get it done.
And you know, I don't know how you will, honestly, how will you feel if he helps them win the championship?
I don't think they're going to win the championship, but
no. Just say, let's say
in theory,
if it happens, and he's a big part of it,
I won't trip off of that because we helped the Celtics win, and I don't have the like. Mikal Bridges is a good dude, right? I don't have so much of that like haterade on him, the haterism. Like I didn't want to see KD win anything. I didn't want to see Kyrie win either. I didn't want to see the Celtics win. But you know, if he does win and I don't know. I don't care. Like, if the Knicks have been bums for so long, if the last Infinity Stone was Mikal Bridges and the Brooklyn Nets made that move for the Knicks, like, I don't know. I don't think it would bother me that much.
Yeah, that's good. I know Evan is going to go crazy, though, if that happens.
Yeah, but see, like, I don't know. I just, like, the Knicks been bad forever. It's not like they're dominant. It's not like the rich getting richer. The Knicks have been laughing stocks for so long. What goes around comes around. Stay down till you come up. If the last Infinity Stone was given to you by your neighbor and they go, we'll see what happens. If it happens, I don't know. Hopefully I'll be on the Fan to talk about it. But in theory right now, if Mikal Bridges is the piece to the Knicks winning the chip in the next 4 years, I don't see myself being bothered by it at all.
That's good. You're fair. That's what I like about you and other people.
I like basketball, and I understand. I just understand the landscape. I understand the Nets have been bums. I get it. Like, I've lived through it.
And one last point, then I'll let you go. Thanks for taking my call. Good show, as always. They didn't give up. They still got their two first-round picks this year, the Knicks. On top of that, they didn't give them up. So in 2024, they got 24 and 25 pick.
Yeah.
And they didn't even, then they gave up nothing. Bogdanovich, they didn't give up any role plays. You know, I was reading in one of the.
I mean, yeah. Leon Rose, these guys, I was saying it last season. I was tweeting about it. I'm so impressed with their front office, and they're not looking for any pomp and circumstance. They're not popping up on MSG channel network. They're not doing interviews. They're not doing podcasts. They're doing work. And they brought the Knicks back. And you've heard me say it. The Knicks are perennial playoff contenders for this Jalen Brunson era. And they're not done. If I'm a Knicks fan, which I'm not, but I'm paying close attention, if I'm a Knicks fan, I'm trusting that these guys are steering the ship in the right direction.
That's what I like about you. Because if they win, you'll be happy because you're a talk show host for sports on New York.
My dad is a Knicks fan. Yeah. My uncles are Knicks fans. Yeah. My brother was a Knicks fan. I have lifelong friends that, like, they bleed blue and orange. They're ready to die over some New York Knicks.
Exactly. Thanks for taking my call. Nice talking to you, buddy.
Yes, sir. 888-808-1019. I just like think back to all the years where they couldn't get right. And as we're talking about the Mets, like, you know, the Mets smacking the Yankees like that. I was in the stadium in the ballpark. I'm like, yo, it's good. This is healthy. Let little bro punch up. And actually land one once in a while. Like this is part of it. You know, you don't get into sports. You don't get into this form of entertainment to be miserable. You don't go and put on a Mets hat or a Knicks jersey to every time think that the other shoe is about to drop, that they're just not going to be good, that they're going to lose. Woe is me, doom and gloom. Like, I don't know. I just know both sides of it. I've had a lot of victories and success and fun times. I've been on the end of championships. I've seen my baseball team win the World Series. I understand. I'm a grown man now. Like, if they don't win ever again, I lived it. I've seen it. And we're a long way from the World Series. But I try to let people enjoy things. And I understand not everybody's that way. But, like, there's balance. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like the Mets have been dominant forever. How mad could I be about them smacking the Yankees? I'm not mad. The Knicks have not been dominant. That any time that I can really remember, the early 90s, I was in elementary school. How can I be mad if they get Mikal Bridges and these kids from Villanova? It's a great story. They were an underdog story last year. I was on the Fan through the whole playoff run. I wasn't throwing my Nets fandom in front of it because that's corny to me. Like that, like, it's not about me. I'm hosting the show for New York. There's New Yorkers listening that are diehard Knicks fans. Like I said, I have conversations with people that are like really about that. And I get it. So I'm not going to jump in front of that train. I understand. I understand. 888-808-1019. Tonight is a great night to be a Mets fan. It's a great night to be a Yankee fan, too. You're in first place. You understand the team is hurt. And you also understand that you have a trade deadline, the last time you have to improve your team. It's a great night to be a Nets fan. They were stagnant. Man, that Yordi Fernandez press conference was so lame. It was just like, oh, all right, yeah, great. Wish them all the luck, all the success. Celtics win the championship, and it's like, all right. You know, you see the Josh Giddey, Alex Caruso move, and you're like, what are the Nets doing? What are the Nets doing? Are you doing anything? I think I saw Mike Bisseglie on TikTok. Shout out to Mike. He's definitely not listening right now, but somebody will relay the message. You know, he had this, like, straight-to-camera message, like, I think Nets fans right now are just really like, what are we doing? What's the direction of the franchise? There you go. There you go. On the Garden State Parkway, Ross, how are you?
Hi, doing very good. How are you, Keith? First time caller.
Good. It sounds like your garbage disposal's going, you know, in the sink when you have the, summer. There it is. I don't know.
Oh, my goodness. No, I'm just in the car driving.
Are you on speaker? Or are you connected through something?
I'm not on speaker. One second. Am I a little bit clearer now?
I don't know. It just sounds like there's somebody blowing bubbles in the background. Sorry, Ross. We got a bunch of other people on the line. Ross in Bergen County. Ross, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. How's it going, man?
Good. Not going to be a hater. Not going to, you know, I know the Met fan wants me to come in and say, congrats on winning the World Series. I think they're going to split. So congrats on winning.
Well, I mean, what's up with Vientos all of a sudden? Who is this guy?
He's arrived.
I mean, I don't want to get ahead of myself because I was giving out apologies to Brett Beatty, you know, in March, April, and all of a sudden he became the quadruple A player he's always been. And, you know, Vientos had kind of been, you know, 1A, 1B under that role. And now all of a sudden this guy was at 3 at bats in a row.
He,
I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, that is. That's a good stat. You know, this guy is just going yard. He always was a power hitter, though. Like, that's what he did in the minors.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if it was going to translate. But, man, I'm just a believer in you got to go through it to get to it. That, like, him being yanked around, sent up and down, thinking he's a part of this, and they signed J.D. Martinez, and it's not. But, like, getting his opportunity now, he was ready. He's ready. Sunday night baseball, primetime. He's ready. Subway Series, New York Yankees. Everybody watch it. He's ready.
Yeah, I mean, not only that. I mean, you brought Martinez, and, hey, I don't know if these are the first, paying dividends of the analytic mindset from Stearns, but you see these changes they made to the lineup. I don't even know if it is analytic, but you see Lindor gets moved to leadoff. He's looking like the guy he was in Cleveland. Nimmo, I think, is batting like 400. Since he got moved to the two hole, obviously what Martinez is doing, hell, even Pete's been better. I mean, you look at that 1-4 as dynamic as it could be when it's on its game, and you got guys like Vientos, bottom of the order. I mean, listen, even the pitching. I mean, well, Ottavino and Smith on a Western Open. Ottavino, dude, you know we call him Adam at the Legos. He is horrific, dude. Yeah. I don't care how you know.
But you're not surprised
stuck to being an analyst.
No, nobody's surprised.
No,
you guys
were
all panicking when Diaz went down and Drew Smith was hurt and. And Sean Reed Foley, you guys know that your bullpen is shaky, but you got the win. See, I think I might have said this. I'm like, with the shaky bullpen, you got to outscore the Yankees. Like, you just got, and your lineup is the other night I was talking about how many times the Mets have put up double digits just in the last week.
Yeah, I think they averaged the most runs per game, like the last month.
Yeah, there's numbers that tell you that they are clicking right now, and that is how you win without a bullpen. Outscore them. Judge can't hit a 6-run home run. He can't hit a grand slam plus two. Like, it does not matter.
Yeah, put the runs up early. I mean, you've seen guys like Pete and Lindor, you know, score
against
when the
game's Garrett Cole. Chase Garrett Cole.
Yeah, the guy didn't have a single strikeout. No, it was an awesome show, and hopefully they repeat tomorrow. But real quick on Bridges, I mean, listen, you want to talk about Nova, you know, Villanova connections aside and everything. I'm just so glad they didn't go out and pull the, you know, chasing the veteran approach. Because you see in this day and age, obviously KD, obviously the low-hanging fruits what happened in Brooklyn. But even you look at what happened in Phoenix, hell, you even want to talk about what Milwaukee just went through with Lillard, who hadn't even really taken a step back up until this year. you know, he was still really in the somewhat prime of his career, and they kind of fell off the boat. So, like, hearing Paul George or even KD
it's
himself.
It's the Nets' fault that the Celtics won and the Bucks' fault.
Right. Well, yeah, well, the Garnett trade, obviously. But, I mean, the fact that, I don't know, I wouldn't call Bridges. I think he's in between a star and just kind of that, like, medium elite kind of player. And obviously,
I'm jaded. I'm jaded because I've watched him play, and I watched him go from a guy that people were like, yo, he's baby KD. He's KD light. To watch him this past year, we're like, this guy, he just didn't want to be here. And I think in basketball, especially when guys don't want to play, we've seen that a ton as the Brooklyn Nets. When guys don't want to play, they're not effective, and you got to get them up out of here. And they
Now, who do you guys build around? Cam Thomas? Ain't crap funny? What are you guys doing now?
Ain't crap funny. The editor.
Yeah. I can't say.
Cam Thomas is a bucket. I was just reading an article on Hoops Hype about how he was saying, you know, you can't develop if you don't play. And, I mean, this guy is ready to be the leading scorer, the star of the team, and they haven't trusted him for so many years. Now, in this rebuild, there's nobody in the way. There's no KD Kyrie in the way. There's no Spencer Dinwiddie in the way. Like, it's your team.
Well, I mean, you look at Sean Marks. I mean, talk about as desperate as could be to get a pick, because you guys didn't have a first-round control. It was like 2028 or something. I don't know how the picks really work.
The Suns pick in 2027. I don't know. I've been checked out from the Brooklyn Nets, as many Nets fans have been, and Nets content creators or whatever. The organization let us down. I've been very vocal about that. Like, the Nets had a good run where, like, the fan base was building, and there was more eyes and ears and people saying, yeah, I'll watch a podcast on the Brooklyn Nets, a live stream on the Brooklyn Nets, which we just did not have with the brand refresh that was created going from New Jersey to Brooklyn. It took 10 years to build that. And that's why it was so disappointing. Thanks for the call, Ross. That's why it was so disappointing to have the superstars, to have a Kyrie Irving, hometown guy want to play for the Nets and bring KD along and James Harden. It was like, wow, we have the superstars. We're one of the top teams. We're the favorites. We're expected to win. And then go, zoop, nope. Disconnect between the superstars and the GM and the owner, and they try to put Steve Nash in there and blah, 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 blah. Yo, shout out to Kenny Atkinson. What I'm trying to say here is, if you're a Brooklyn Nets fan, New Jersey Nets fan, now everybody should be on the same page. We're not going superstar hunting. We're rebuilding. You have a superstar in the making in Cam Thomas. We'll see what happens with Nick Claxton. We'll see what happens with some of the other veterans. I mean, at this point now, you're trading the veterans. They can go. Let's get younger. Let's look to the future. And if they are a bottom feeder team that misses the play-in this year, so what? We're looking towards the draft. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I've got 6 calls to take, so I wouldn't even call, because when we come back, I'm going to try and run through the 6 calls. And then C-Mac is in here. He's plotting right now. He's talking to Fleegs. Can't wait to hear what C-Mac and Fleegs have to say about the Subway Series. KM to 2 a.m. We'll be right back.
Speak your mind. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Yeah, 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 yeah. All right, quickly here. Right back at it on the Fan, KM to 2 a.m. It's almost 2 a.m. Taking your calls at 888-808-1019. I mean, you'll probably be on with C-Mac. A couple things I wanted to add, you know, chalking that game up, at least the start of the game up, to Gerrit Cole being in his second start and trying to still figure it out and get his groove back. And it is what it is. He got rocked. I mean, the Yankees obviously threatened and had a chance to scratch a run across first. And the Mets make it happen. The make it happen Mets, man. That first run. Home runs, whatever. And, you know, I saw Jack Curry put out there that Cole averaged 97 mile an hour with his fastball in 28 pitch first inning. Rough, but couldn't locate it, dialed back his fastball and gave up 3 home runs. There's adrenaline. There's, like I said, he's feeling it out, whatever. You chalk that up to, this is a guy making his second start that missed months this season. Yeah, he's a Cy Young winner, but you don't roll out of bed and just dominate a lineup like this Mets lineup. Yeah, I'm giving credit to the Mets lineup. They're pretty good. They're hitting. They lead the major leagues in OPS this month and a bunch of other categories. They're up there as well. And then going back to the Knicks and Nets trade,
The Knicks and Nets haven't made a trade with each other since 1998. And it's not finalized yet. I think there's some more things to go on. But I did see it go final where the Brooklyn Nets tweeted out that they've acquired their 2025 first-round draft pick, negating a previously agreed-to swap and their first-round pick in 2026 from the Houston Rockets. So, man, just like feel good about being able to recoup that off of the James Harden nonsense. I don't know how many times I said, yo, don't trade Harden because we can't get Jared Allen and Caris LeVert back. And now with this, that's the last thing you got to do is get rid of Ben Simmons, figure out anything to get Ben Simmons up out of here, and I will be happy. I will be content. So let's get back to the phone and see what you guys want to talk about before my show is up. Gus is in Ridgewood. Gus, you got it.
KM to the AM. It's great to speak with you again, bro. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for calling in.
Good, good. So real quick, just two quick points about the Nets before I talk about what I mainly want to talk about, because you brought it up on the program earlier. So I used to be a resident DJs at Scores, and I can confirm that Harden actually has appeared there. So your reference to his preference, so to speak, you're right. He does frequent that in cities all the time. He did that as a Rocket, and of course he's done that as a Net. So that's one thing. Really quickly, I think your Nets, and I'm a Knicks fan, but you know I can respect Brooklyn, in certain aspects. I think you guys would have won if not for one person in New York City, and that's Eric Adams. He's the reason why you guys didn't win that year. But being at the game tonight, though, I gotta say, man, the energy was incredible.
Yeah.
And especially when we got the news of the Bridges trade happening while we were at that game, so much excitement is actually being.
Let's go, Knicks chance! I heard breakout. That's I wasn't there. I had to get back to the station. But that's great for. That's what I said, great night for the city. Yes, go on.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, like, you know, I heard some of those chants too, and I heard you even made it to the game as well. I'm sorry that we, I'm sorry you weren't able to stay for the whole thing. Obviously, you had to, get.
I was there for the family reunion, Bleacher Creatures tailgate. There were too many creatures pulling up for me to miss that one. I had a good time. It's all good.
Was that the Yankee tent that was on the grass right by 126th Street? Like as you're walking from like under 7 train.
Yeah.
I saw a big-ass Yankee tent there, and yeah. I thought that's what
I think we were right by the train.
Okay. Got you. All right. So as that explains that, I was wondering why I saw a big Yankee tent, like right in front of our stadium.
Because
like,
the Yankees were playing. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the call, Gus, because the Yankees were playing in Queens, and a bunch of the creatures live in Queens and, places where they can get to Citi Field faster than Yankee Stadium. I was driving, I'm like, Yankee Stadium is like 9 miles from where I live in Jersey. I think Citi Field is like 10 miles. It feels a lot further. The drive to Citi Field is whack. Maybe it's just because I've done the drive to Yankee Stadium 500 times, and I just know how to drive it where I'm never really stuck in traffic. I know how to like kind of finesse, and I know what time to leave. I left at 2:30. I didn't get to Citi Field till 4:00. And there was a long line, and I didn't realize. I'm like, why? The parking lot's not open? They didn't open the parking lot until 4:15. Whatever. It didn't matter. I had a good time. John is in Brooklyn. John, you're on the Fan.
Yeah, how you doing, Keith? Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, man, I'm like the last caller. There was a game. The Yankees and the Mets fans actually were getting along because of the trade. And that was a good thing. That was a good thing because that's something that Yankees and Mets fans have in common. You know, we're both Knicks fans. And there'd be some Yankee fans out there that'd be saying, oh, I will never wear nothing of a Met color. And I told them yesterday, wear your Knicks jersey. That way you can blend in with the Met color.
Yeah. I don't do the blue and orange. I'm a Nets fan. Like,
another thing, right, Keith? Every time Gerrit Cole, he puts his sleeve on his mouth, right, so they don't listen to what he says. And I don't know. Every time I was like, damn, this guy got no lips. Why does he put it in? Nobody's going to read his lips, man. I don't know who has bigger lips. Come on, Larry Bird, man. You got to, I don't know, man. I got to go, man. It was a good day. Thank you, man.
Later. Yeah. yeah, the energy was great in Yankee Stadium or in Citi Field, but it was quiet for the Yankees. Shout out to Darren Meenan, my guy. Darren Meenan, I always remember, Darren Meenan came to the MLB Fan Cave and watched Derek Jeter's final game in Yankee Stadium where Derek Jeter gets the hit and, one more thrill for the Yankee fans.
And I was in tears that game. Not like, ooh, balling, but I was choked up to see Jeter actually have a, you know, cinematic moment like that. And Darren was there. And I always respected Darren because he's 101. Like, what he did with the 7 line and the merch and linking with MLB and the Mets. And, you know, he came in and paid some respect to the creatures. You know, the creatures, we're obnoxious. We're loud. Like, that's part of us. I mean, the creatures used to be a lot worse years ago when you could be. We kind of took over the bridge and, you know, heckled the 7 line. That's what you're supposed to do. That's fun. That's part of it. But then I saw Darren in the 7 line tweet at me like, hey, Keith, why are you so quiet up there? I'm like, chill. You know why I'm quiet. I had to leave the game. I'm walking. It's 9-1 as I start to hit the exit. It's 9-2 as I'm like, well, I have to make a business decision. I'm on the Fan tonight. I got to drive all the way back. Bruce in Flushing on the Fan. What's up, Bruce?
Hey, Keith, comment about the Knicks trade and also about the Yankees. First on the Knicks trade. The key when Leon Rose makes all these deals, he doesn't necessarily do a deal because of talent. He has obviously an impact. But what he does is, how is this person going to fit on my team?
Right.
And that's the key to all these acquisitions. Is there a good fit for my team and for my coach?
Yes, that's why you got to trust them, right? They're not doing the flashy thing. They're not doing the thing that all the fans are. They're not trading for Joel Embiid. They're not trading for Donovan Mitchell. They are slowly putting the pieces together. And, like, that's what I was talking about last year. I'm like, look what they did. Like, they signed Dante DiVincenzo. They made the trade the year before for Josh Hart. They signed Jalen Brunson. Even having Isaiah Hartenstein ready to go as a backup when they got him. These were the trade for OG. These were moves that they were calculated moves. They were precise. And I know they're in lockstep with the head coach, right? You know, the head coach didn't want Cam Reddish. That wasn't a piece that worked.
These pieces and also, work. And also, they have to re-sign OG no matter what. If they have to give him 5 years, 245, they do it. On the Yankees, real quick, I thought Jack Curry made an astute comment on the postgame show tonight. He said, when he talked about Torres not running down to first base, if he can't do it because he's injured, he shouldn't be playing.
Yep.
And if he did it because he was too lazy or whatever, then you shouldn't bench him. There is no way that Torres should be playing tomorrow. I don't understand what Boone has against Cabrera. When he played early in the season, he was productive, gave a boost of energy, so he had a little bit of a dry spell. Well, so is half the Yankee team, but they continue to play, so why doesn't he put back Cabrera? And I understand that a lefty's pitching, and I understand that the new guy, you know, hadn't played in a week. But let's not, Ben Rice, even though he's a rookie, has got a nice swing. And it's one thing to put Ben Rice against a Chris Sale, but the other lefties, I would give him playing time and let's see that swing go against lefties. Not every lefty is going to be hell-bent on Rice. Rice, I think, can hit lefties, at least give him the opportunity, because what's the alternative?
Right. There aren't too many other options, and I know they're going to play the numbers game and the matchup game and say, all right, you know, and they also play the veteran game. And, you know, going back to Oswaldo, they don't see him as an everyday player. They don't see him as an impact player. I don't know. They don't see him as a consistent player. They will go with DJ.
He was an impact player in April.
Yeah, and I guess they thought that was an aberration. Us fans see it. Us fans are like, yo, this guy is clutch. This guy plays with a spark, a flair. He helps. He contributes to winning. Why isn't he in? I've been begging for them to keep him in at third base because I'm like, the more he plays third base, the more comfortable he's going to be at the position. He's young. He's athletic. We need his athleticism on the base pass. DJ LeMahieu is just going to ground out. He's never beating a ground out to first. All he does is hit the ball on the ground. He's not fast enough to beat it out. And now he's not athletic enough to make some of the plays on the hot corner. Come on. I don't know.
And also, if you're limited on your alternatives, and you can't make a trade to the trade deadline, then do what Hal said he was going to do. call up the kids. They got the second baseman who was out most of the last 6 to 8 weeks because he had a broken orbital bone. He's been back. He's been playing for the last 2 or 3 weeks. He's been getting some hits. Bring him up and put Torres on a DL if he's injured. And I would wait 2 or 3 weeks. And if, you know, Spencer Jones started the season poorly, he's been hitting the last 2 weeks. Give him a couple of, not a couple of weeks. And if he's hitting, I'd risk and bring him up and take the gamble.
Yeah, I don't know. But they got Ben Rice up here. Peraza was here and there. I don't know. Jamai Jones DH'd today.
I'd rather have the kid than what we had DH tonight.
Yeah.
Nothing against the kid, but Jones is talent.
We're cooked. Yeah, the lineup is cooked. We were relying on when that first inning. I knew we were absolutely cooked because you know Volpe gets on, Soto gets on, Judge gets on. But then we have Gleyber Torres, Alex Verdugo, J.D. Davis. Those guys couldn't get it done. I'm like, we're cooked.
Take care, Chief.
Thanks for the call, Bruce. I'm like, this is the lineup. This is where the lineup has gotten to this point. I don't know what you guys expect. What, we got to change the lineup now? We got to split up. We got to put Volpe first, put Soto third, put Judge to bat him six. Yikes. Injuries, facing better competition. Losing, being contagious. Met fans know about that. Met fans know about losing, being contagious. That's where the Yankees are at right now. They don't have the horses, and there are little things going on right now that lead to you getting smacked, blown out, it being 9-0 or 9-1 in the 6th, 7th inning. But today is a new day, and that's what you got to love about baseball and life. Like life, you turn the page to the next day. If you had a bad day, man, you got a fresh day to try and redeem yourself, do something different. And I expect the Yankees lineup to be different. Gleyber Torres doesn't need to play in his second game, right? If he can't hustle to first, I don't, like, it's cheap to me. Stop making excuses for the guy. You took him out in the last series because he had a groin injury. If he's in and he can go, he should be able to run the first base. The guy's given up on himself because he's in a bad one. And they're down to no one. So, when you're down to no one and Jamai Jones is your DH because Stanton's hamstrings are cooked, I don't know. J.D. Davis just got here. You got to roll him out at first base. I don't know. Maybe they DH him tomorrow. Maybe Ben Rice gets the nod at first. There's just not many great options. It is what it is. Last call for me goes to John in Asbury Park.
Okay, first I want to say, thank you for repping Norfolk County. I'm from Asbury Park all my life, and I'm proud of you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Next up, I've seen this movie all my life with Antonio McDice and Eddie Curry and also with Mello, where we have something good going, and we just need one more piece, and we give up too much of the future to try to chase it. This has James Dolan tint all over it because before this, Leon Rose had us moving in the right direction. Now, of all those names, yeah, I have more faith in Jalen Brunson than any of the other ones, but really, all those first-round draft picks for one player, you don't think that's a little bit unfair, dude? I'll listen to you. You make a lot of sense. You don't think that's a little much for one player in a second-round draft pick? You couldn't have maybe, like, paired the – all right, let me say this. When it comes to draft picks, some are bust, some turn well. Keep the two first-round draft picks. One of them might be good. Why are you getting rid of all this capital to bring this back? I don't understand. Can you explain that to me, please?
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm still waiting for the specifics to come out. Because the Knicks still have picks. They stockpile picks. You know, they still have some picks. I'm trying to get the specifics on this. It hasn't gone final yet. It might just be, let's see. I don't know. I'll get that information now. I don't think that there's any impending doom. I don't think that you're looking at a situation where it's like, man, we just, you know, gave up our future. I think the future is now for the Knicks.
Be honest with me. Four. First round.
Yeah, that's the going rate for the guy. That's what teams were offering for him. That's what that's why Nets fans were so pissed off. We're like, what is he that like you couldn't do that deal with the Rockets, and now the Rockets are in on it.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't want Paul George. I'm glad. Okay, did not want Paul George. I don't want 34-year-old trying to come in. No, I understand that. But four first rounds, one player.
So from Eric Slater's tweet, they have the 2025 Knicks first round pick, the 2027 Knicks first round pick, 2029 first round pick.
You don't think that's expensive?
Yeah, but it's like there's years between 2025, like that's next year, not this year.
And we only have the time for two more years.
It's every 2 years, thing. And he's gonna resign. These are his best friends. They're living the dream. Like that. I
understand that, but it's just like the OG thing. OG might not resign. If he won't resign, now we're going to do like
he might not. But that, even if he doesn't, you're good. Like you're good. Mikal Bridges.
When he was part of the equation, we had the best record.
I know, but he was hurt. He was hurt, and you still won without him. Mikal Bridges plays every day. He's a good defender too, and he's definitely a better scorer than OG Anunoby.
That I'll give you.
I understand as a Knicks fan too. Some of y'all just it's too good to be true, right? You mentioned Eddie Curry and Antonio McDice.
Yeah, I'll never forget that. I'm sorry. I'm a Knicks fan for years. I'll never forget McDice with his knee, and he gave up three first round draft picks for a 6'8" player from Chicago. They fleeced us. I'll never forget that.
Those days are gone, man. You have a
yeah, but it's not. It doesn't have that. No. It has that feel.
No.
It has that feel. It has that feel of Dolan stepping in and saying, get this done.
Because I don't think we haven't heard from James Dolan in a while. I think it's Leon Rose.
I know, but it's and William Wesley.
And the word on the street was that Mikal Bridges wanted this. And I think it got to the point where Sean Marks was like, all right, if your camp is saying that's where you want to be, let's get it done. And they had to probably work on this the last few days. To get the Knicks to where they were giving up these picks every 2 years is not going to matter. It's not going to hurt you. Okay. Your team right now isn't full of your picks. You got this team off of signing them and trading for them. They're not. These aren't homegrown guys. Thanks for the call, John. You know what I'm saying? Like, these aren't. This best Knicks team that you've had in all these years, you didn't get them through the draft. You traded the guys you drafted away. And if OG Anunoby doesn't want to resign and you feel like, oh, we gave up too much, and it doesn't matter. You have Mikal Bridges now. You'll see. You'll see what these guys look like. Some of you I don't have to tell. Like, they're going to be it's them and the Celtics. Maybe the Sixers. We'll see what the Bucks do in the East. The Miami Heat. It's the Knicks and the Celtics. The Pacers. I can't even take the Pacers series. C-Max coming in right now. He's going to rock and do his thing. Call the show. It's wide open. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be back to do the same thing after Game 2 of the Subway Series tomorrow night. Goodbye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.